As Mark said, this is a Mission Sunday, so we get to share about our youth mission trip to Kentucky, and I'll kind of give you guys an overview of what we did. The youth are going to get to share a little bit about their favorite part, what they saw God do. The leaders are going to share a little bit as well, and then Jake's going to share, and then Mike's going to share. So lots going on today, which is so awesome. If you guys want to slide down just a little bit so everyone can see your beautiful faces. All right, so there is so much that I can talk about this morning because there are so many awesome things that happened on this trip. It was such an awesome, awesome trip. I mean, yeah, these guys did so, so great. I guess the first thing I'll talk about is the fact that starting each day with 45 minutes of Bible study time really just set the stage for the entire week. The youth got into the Word for 45 minutes every morning in the book of Daniel, and they had a trip book that kind of helped walk them through the passages and how to best study that, how to pray, and how God is leading them through that time. And then at the end of each night, they all got together again. And our trip leaders, Andrew and TJ, they kind of went through and walked through the trip books and the passages, and all the youth talked about it, answered questions. So that was really, really awesome, really set the stage for the whole week. The main thing that took place, one of the main things that took place on this project, on this mission trip, and we can go ahead and play those pictures there. We have a slideshow of pictures that kind of better illustrates the mission trip. One of the main things was service. So the youth got to serve someone who was really in need. And that was through Manchester Baptist Church, where the youth stayed all week. That was the home base. And they kind of did a lot of the ministry connections. So they connected leader checks to this lady. Her name was Stephanie, and she had an 8-year-old daughter, and she was kind of in a difficult spot. She was not able to work due to injury, and they're like, how can we best serve this lady who is really in need? And they noticed that she kind of takes pride in what she has, and thought, you know what, let's build her a deck. Let's build her a patio for her and her daughter. So a lot of what took place that week was these guys got to build an entire deck for this lady, and it was so, so awesome to see how they worked together and what they did. It was awesome. Even the last day, it was pouring down rain, and these guys still worked through it. They worked through the rain, and they got this project done. There was also landscaping that happened and took place around the deck, and they just got in teams and led and did an amazing job, and leaders were so, so proud of seeing how these youth worked together in this way. Another thing that took place was VBS. So the VBS was kind of like where the youth would kind of go through the community, and they went through with adult leaders. And they actually knocked on doors and handed out flyers to people in the community to let them know, hey, there's a VBS taking place in your community this week, and we would like to invite you to that. So, and then if someone answered the door who did not have children, they actually had the opportunity to pray with those people. So that was really cool to see youth pray with people at their doorsteps. So that was awesome. And the VBS was really, really cool. There we go. The VBS was really cool. The youth got to do, they got to connect with local kids and do games and crafts, music and a message, and share with the local kids that way. So that was just so awesome. And the last day of the trip, the youth got to go to Natural Bridge State Park. And this was just kind of like a celebration of the week where they got to do something fun. So this was where they got to hike up a mountain, which took some time, and got to see God's handiwork. And this was, it was beautiful because we were in the Kentucky Appalachians, and finally, you know, after lots of hiking, the youth got to go to the very top of that mountain and look out. And it was so cool. I know a lot of the youth said, you know, that the trip was difficult. It was tough to be able to hike up that mountain, but it was so worth it when they got to the top. And we have a few pictures of that. But it was cool because there was a little lesson built in there too, that, you know, hard work, you know, you get to the top, and they got to enjoy some of God's handiwork there. But so, yeah, I just wanted to give a quick overview. Like I said, the trip was so, so awesome. And now what we'll do is I'm going to hand the mic off to the youth, and they will share just a couple things, what they enjoyed and kind of how they saw God working in their lives or people around them. And our adult leaders will get to share as well.
My name's Henry, and my favorite part of the trip is probably spending time with everyone during the week. And I saw God working in my life through serving others this week, or that week.
I'm Alex, and my favorite part of the trip was probably, what's it called? It was probably working on the project, because I like helping people out, and I like yard work, and got to do both. And then I saw God working in Nolan's life, wherever he is down the line. Oh, he's at the very end. Anyways, I saw God working through Nolan's life, working in Nolan's life through leadership, because he was always there to help lead people and guide people.
My favorite part was probably hiking Natural Bridge, because it was super fun, and I saw God working through the whole group, and I also saw God working through me with my ability to speak in larger groups, so...
Hi, I'm Carter. My favorite part of the trip was seeing the deck be built and all the hard work that we put into it. And I saw God working through my life. I got to pray for this lady when we were doing the VBS. We were passing out flyers to different houses. I got to pray for her. She had cancer, and yeah, great times.
Hi, I'm Alana. This trip was the best trip I've been on. I've grown the most from this trip, and I've seen so many people grow as well. My favorite part was worship, because I like hearing people singing.
Hi, I'm Michaela, and my favorite part of the trip was cooking, because there was teamwork, and I learned a lot of new cooking skills. And I saw God working in everybody's life and mine. I saw God help give me courage to speak more.
Hello, my name is Daniel, and my favorite part of this trip was getting to see all these youth just step up and really take chances and just be willing to lead. And my favorite thing that we did that week was definitely Natural Bridge. It was just such an amazing experience.
Hi, I'm Jenna. My favorite part of the trip was probably our team time, when we went over our devotionals that we did in the morning and also during worship, because I really saw the group grow and, like, what they said, what they learned. And, like, by the end of the week, like, everyone was singing really loud during worship, which was made my heart very happy. What I think I learned most on the trip was to be more intentional about how I'm living my life for God, because on this trip, you're very intentional about that. Like, you start every day reading the word and getting to know God better, and then everything that you do, how you act and how you say toward things towards people, it's all done with God in mind. And I remember as we were leaving the trip, I was kind of thinking to God, I was like, wow, like, everyone grew so much on the trip. Like, I grew so much just in 1 week. And I was thinking about it, and God's like, well, Jenna, what if you acted how you did on this trip every week? Just imagine what I would do in like a month. And that just really encouraged me. I was like, well, why don't I act like that? This is not just for mission trips, for us to devote our time to God and devote what we say and what we do to God. And so that was just like the challenge that I walked away with, and that, you know, I challenged all of my crew up here and all of you to like treat every day as if it's a mission, because that's when change happens.
Ditto. Yeah, what a blessing this trip was, because I saw growth in the youth. Yes, absolutely. Every one of them worked very hard. They helped each other. They worked in teams. And at the same time, there was camaraderie. They were good friends with each other. There was never any disagreements. They were there for each other. And the only thing I have complained about is how many stair levels does that church have? Wow. I tried to stay down every time I came down. But anyway, it was a blessing. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And I'm glad to see the growth in the kids. And that's the, I'm sure everyone came back with a blessing on their own lives.
Hi, I'm Wes. And it really was a blessing to see how everybody worked together as a team from the time that he got up with the meal prep, the meal cleanup, our devotions together, praying together, honoring each other in the circle, and then on to the job site, how everybody worked so hard and worked together. It's amazing to see how, as the week went on, the different ones that took on lead roles, and each one did their part. It was an amazing trip.
My name is Nolan. I got to say my favorite part of the trip was probably watching everybody work together to make the porch finished and the whole rest of the yard. Thursday when it was pouring down rain, I don't think I heard a single person complain, and we managed to get everything all done. And, Natural Bridge was a close second.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for sharing. They did a really great job. So, yeah, and my favorite part, just like a lot of the leaders, was just seeing the youth grow. They did such an amazing job. We were just so proud of them. And the cool thing is, you know, they get to take this experience with them, and they get, because we're so close to school, they get to take it back to school and really get to grow. And we're headed into a new school year, and just a lot of new things happening. So they get to take that with them, and super excited about that. And last thing I want to say is thank you all so, so much for your prayers. For giving towards this trip, for letting us come over to your house to do Rent to Youth. It has just been such a journey and such a great one, and we've seen growth through the entire thing, and it's been really awesome to see all that payoff in this trip. So thank you so, so much. We really appreciate you. Now as the youth and leaders head off the platform here, Jake Fuhrer is going to come up, and he is going to share a little bit with us about his mission work in South Bend, Indiana this summer.
Thanks. So I went to South Bend, Indiana this summer, and I served at a camp where a lot of the campers have never heard the gospel, or they heard and they've rejected, or some have heard and accepted it. This summer was really fun, and it was very challenging for me to try and express my faith to people who have never heard about it. And one of the great things was that someone asked me, like, what was the hardest part about the summer? And I think the hardest part is trying to describe how God worked in the lives of all the campers. I know there are a lot of campers who gave their life to Christ, and they did it in different places, like outside the bathroom, during their swim time, at activities and stuff like that. And it was just a great thing to see God working in their lives. And so every week we had campers come to know Christ. We had these green leaves on the wall of the staff lounge. And basically those green leaves were that had names on them. And those names were the names of all the campers who gave their life to Christ this summer. And it was just covered with green leaves. There's over 100 of them on the wall. And those were the campers that have, you know, gave their life to Christ for the first time. And it was just amazing to see how God worked this summer. So I'm going to pass it on the mic. Before I do, I'd like to say thank you for all those who helped support me in the camp this summer, for things that I saw them work in or the things that I didn't see.
All right. We on? There we go. Thank you guys so much. How encouraging is that? Really? Let's give another round of applause for the youth, for those leaders, for Jake. And I want to thank all of you for your support in all of these, in their those trips, my trip. You've prayed, you've given financially, and I want to say a personal thank you. I know on mine, it's always a blessing to me to hear after I come back, because I never know exactly who's going to end up here doing music. Sometimes it's part of our team, our normal team. Sometimes it's another team we bring in. But one thing I love is when I get back, I always hear like, man, the church was so great to us. The church was so hospitable. They were so friendly. They were so welcoming. They just feel like a family. And I just want to see how much that touches my heart to know that I can leave and come back and know that that's okay. And you guys have been so great to whoever ends up being up here. So thank you for that. But yeah, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of overview. I will try to not make it the three-hour show I gave to my family when I got back. But I will try to quickly roll through as much as I can. That's what I saw most of my trip. I feel like it was just out of plane window. I think I figured there was probably at least 40 hours just in a plane to and fro. So be sure that doesn't fall off my ear. But yeah, so here was kind of my flight path, if I can get that. So started off over here in Detroit, over to Philly. And some of you guys have taken flights. You know, I mean, even that's kind of a hassle. We'll multiply that by this. So we cross the North Atlantic. We cross, you know, Europe, the Mediterranean Sea, on over, across the Persian Gulf, and we drop into Doha, Qatar. That's where we, now I'll show you a couple pictures from that in a minute. Typically our layovers might be a few hours, but this one happened to be like an extensive layover, and I'll show you what happened there. And then we came on down. So this is a generic flight path that they give you. We did not fly through the entire bit of Saudi Arabia and Yemen. We took a hard turn right here and came out over the water and went around that before we finally came all the way down to right here along the equator, at Lake Victoria, and landed in Entebbe, Uganda, which was where we landed. Just a couple of shots here. When we landed in Doha, so here's a crazy thing, just how, you know, God's got a sense of humor sometimes, or reminds us how small the world is. So we had this extended time. I actually got there several hours before my team, wasn't sure what I was going to do. Well, it turns out I have a friend I went to high school with, did choir, musicals, things like that with, lives in Doha. And yes, that's a falcon on my arm. That's, yes. Arabian horses, we saw camels, we saw all kinds of crazy things. But anyway, so her and her daughter picked me up and gave me like the grand tour of Doha, which was kind of crazy. What are the odds that that was going to happen in the one stop we've had where we actually had time to kill? So we did that. They toured around. By the time we got done, she dropped me at the hotel. The team showed up right after that. We got a little bit of sleep. Yeah, just some really cool, so much cool architecture in this place. That's flags from the World Cup, all the countries that were in the World Cup that they hosted. Here's this big national art museum. Lots of crazy things. There's so much money in that place. It was such a stark contrast, because we go from there on to Entebbe, where we're literally like climbing up and down stairs to get to the plane, because that's how that works there. Here we're getting back off. And so we go from all this opulence, all this money, all this wealth, to this. This is the airport in Entebbe, this national airport where we landed. Just this cobbled together building. Some of these pictures are kind of some of the landscape we saw as we were getting settled. We did get to kind of see, so there's Lake Victoria. We drove by that huge, huge lake. So these are some shots as we're going from there. We traveled from there on to one of the main cities called Kampala, and that's where we spent quite a bit of our time. You'll see there's just meat hanging out of this window you can buy if you're so inclined. But one thing I noticed was different than Kenya or Zambia, a couple places I've been, is the greenery. There's still lots of just dirt and busyness and dryness and things like that, but also the landscape in general was a lot greener, which is just one random observation. Probably because it also is very near Lake Victoria and the Nile River, which I'll show you more in a little bit too. So we're rolling in. We roll into we're rolling into the city here of Kampala, but still just lots of shacks and just cobbled together places. But that's just how they roll, and they're some of the most. Yeah, you'll see that. these bikes are everywhere. They are all over the place. That's one of their big forms of travel. There'll be just like rows of bikes sitting there, and people just, it's like a taxi. They're like, okay, hey, I need a ride. And they'll take off with you. They'll put 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people on a bike, tires. I saw a refrigerator hanging off the back of one of those bikes. I mean, it's crazy. They call them Boda Boda. And anyway, crazy, crazy, crazy. So we get there. One of the first things they told us we were going to go to is they're like, hey, this is an extra thing. There's this like prayer and worship thing going on. We want you to pop in, just talk for a little bit, maybe do a couple songs. So we're rolling in. We've just got a partial team at this point. We don't even have any instruments with us, so we're not sure what we're going to have when we get there. We're not sure who's going to play, what we're going to do, what we're going to sing. So we get there, we roll up, and this is what we roll up to. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people with this crazy stage going on. There's a choir up there just singing and just giving it their all. There's other speakers that are sharing. There's other things going on. We're like, what in the world did we walk into? But God was happening at this place. And so it was kind of, we rolled with it, went with the flow. We're like, okay, I don't know what we're going to do. How about you play keyboard, you play guitar, we'll sing. I don't know, we'll just figure it out. We'll see what happens. And so we do. We get up there, but then this random drummer and bass player just slip up there with us. They start playing with us like they've played with us for years. We have no idea who they were. We didn't see them after. We had never seen them since. Like, I have no idea. They just showed up like, yeah, we got you. Hold on. All right, here we go. It was incredible. I mean, it was just amazing. I love that. That's so much of the culture over there is like, hey, let's just do it. Let's just go. Let's just make it happen. And they do. And so it was really awesome. And it was some of the sweetest time of worship we had while we were over there. So we did that. We had that experience. We go on. Actually, it was a decent hotel we stayed at. It would not make a 5-star hotel in the U.S., let me tell you. But compared to things over there, it was actually fairly nice. Had this grocery store at the bottom floor. That was kind of nice. But yet it sat on this street, so it was never quiet. There was just, I mean, this, I don't know how many times we said, you can't explain traffic over there. It is just every man for themselves. There's some kind of pattern, but we have no idea what it is. It's chaos. You just find a spot and you get there. You just put yourself in a place. It's chaos. But fascinating. Had this balcony view out the room. We got to see these kind of views out the hotel. That was pretty cool. So then one of the first official things we had planned to do is then we took off from there just not far down the road. We're heading down the road here to this church called the Worship House, which is one of the fastest growing churches, at least in Uganda, maybe even larger Africa. But we pull up, this is this large growing church. Huge in size, but you'll notice there's missing walls. it's missing other things. And at the time we actually had one of our other groups out there doing some training. While we were doing a lot of the music things and doing that, we had a whole other team that was with us that would meet with groups like that. They would meet with children's leaders. And they would share in the morning, they'd teach and train and do breakout sessions with children's leaders, and then later that day, they would take them out into the community and put that into practice and actually teach kids in the community and host Bible schools for the kids in the community, which I thought was just an incredible thing. I was not part of that because I was doing this other stuff. But you'll just see dirt floor and there's some brick steps and just empty holes in the wall where there's nothing going on. These little boys were super inquisitive about the crazy people that were coming to visit. And they hung out with everyone. They were fun. Got a lot of that. But there was such a cool, even there was such an amazing spirit that you could feel in this room. Here's when we went back that night to do an actual worship night. We warmed up and practiced during the afternoon and then went back this night. I mean, again, hundreds and hundreds of people packed into this place. But as the pastor shared, Pastor Wilson, also very, very, very charismatic, visionary kind of guy. That's him right there. Super, super neat guy. We got to spend some time with him later as well. He talked about the fact that, hey, you know, yeah, we're not done. We've got plans. We've got all kinds of plans. We got things we want to build. They're currently trying to build off the back, even though the walls aren't done. They're still building a whole extension off the back to get more seating. He's like, listen, God's called us to serve. God's called us to ministry. We can't stop because the building's not done. That's not an excuse. We've still got things to do. He's like, so as long as God's called us to do things, we're going to do things, and we're going to build the building when we get to it. And so I thought that was an incredible like testimony to me and so many of us that, like, listen, hey, we just got to keep going. We've just got to keep moving. So that was encouraging. So from there, then we did that. The next day we traveled to Jinja. The landscape was quickly changed, which was kind of wild. We left town so much more green, so much more, still traffic, more crops. We did get stopped along the way at one point because they were curious about who we were and what we were doing. So we did get stopped by authorities. Fortunately, they worked that out. But that was one of the few little hiccups. But this is sugarcane being unloaded. That's a huge crop over there. One of the guys said, actually, that's becoming a problem because they know it's a huge crop. They know it's huge money. So they're all making sugarcane now and nothing else. He's like, so we're going to have a lot of sugar, but no food. So they're trying to figure that out and what that looks like. But yeah, so that's some of the landscape there as we got into there. Eventually that carried us on. We don't need to see all these pictures, but eventually that carried us to this. Oh, this is like cattle in the back of that truck, and all the guys were standing on top of it because that's, again, just how they travel. You just do what you got to do. This is the bridge that crossed the Nile River that took us to the next hotel we stayed at in Jinja. And then, so then the next day we got to actually go to the source of the Nile River, which is where it all starts, all 4,000 miles of the Nile River. They said it takes about 3 months for water at the beginning of the Nile to reach the end of the Nile, which I thought was incredible. So we got to see some of this. Again, probably won't get to these pictures, but we went out in a boat. We actually got to go out on the Nile. There's a little shack that kind of sits right there at the source that, of course, is a souvenir shop. Why wouldn't it be? We got to get out and get our picture by this little sign that said Source of the Nile and shop in the little shop. Got to stick our feet in the Nile River, which was pretty cool. So Lake Victoria, there's all of that. That dumps into the Nile River. But then in some of these pictures, and especially while you were out there, you could see water bubbling from underneath. I think, I could be wrong on this stat, but I thought I heard somebody say about 30% of the water from the Nile starts from underwater springs, which I didn't know. So not that there's anything spiritual in that. It was just interesting to me. So we hop in this boat, we take off, we kind of travel through the part of the Nile, we see the source, we roll out into Lake Victoria for a while, come back. So that was kind of interesting, our sightseeing thing. Then I was just fascinated by this little restaurant that sat at the hotel because it was on the Nile River. And so I just kept taking pictures out the window of the Nile River because I just thought it was fascinating and it was beautiful to me. So the artsy in me was like, ooh, I gotta get better. I gotta more pictures of the Nile. Like, that's kind of cool. And so I kept doing that. I looked closer. I think I got zoomed in here. There's a guy that just living in a tent down by here. Beautiful location. Pretty modest living, but beautiful location. So got all these shots. The plant life was crazy. Got this boat out there. I think, yeah, banana tree right outside the window there. That's a vanilla plant right there. That's so just different than, you know, our tomatoes and potatoes and corn we see out in the yard. So then we went on to we got to do another worship night while we were in Jinja. At this church right here, this one did have walls, so that was pretty fancy. Not as big of a location, but it had walls, so that was good. But so we got to, you know, just a mix of worship leaders and pastors and different people that came to be a part of that. Not too different, really, than any worship night we'd have here. maybe a little more wound up, but the same basic kind of thing. Saturday, we got to do like an all-day conference at this location, which looks, you know, looks fairly decent. They were set up pretty well with sound and kind of some open air there too. Let me see if I can find. This is what it looked like outside, though. This is what we pulled up to. Did not expect, and yeah, just kind of sitting in this little town. Again, most of the sidewalls were just tarp, like plastic. But did a whole day conference there. We, again, had worship leaders and pastors and children's leaders and other servants from the church that just showed up for hours and hours. And we did some music and we did some teaching and we did some training and got to share and pour into them and hopefully leave an impact. One of my favorite things that I love to do when we're there is Sunday morning. So we've got all our groups that go in kind of big, you know, we'll do worship things and music things, or we'll go do Bible school things. We're in these big groups. But Sunday morning, we split off into individual groups of like one and two. And we get to go to local churches in the area, which I think is fantastic. That's always been one of the highlights for me, to get to be a part of a local church there in where we go. Last couple of years, I've just shared a testimony, maybe sang a song. This year, I actually got to preach, which was kind of fun, kind of humbling. That's always pretty for a pastor to give up their pulpit like that to somebody they don't know. You don't take that lightly, and they're serious business over there. And so that was really awesome. This was on our way to church. Again, you see the travel. There's no really restrictions on travel. That little kid just sat and bounced around the front seat the whole time we're rolling through these dirt roads. And so we rolled on into the church. We had to stop by the house because the lady's shoe broke. So we had to get a shoe for her. But rolling in here where we had church, there were like three churches side by side, pretty much a little bit of space, but since they crank it to 11, I mean, you could audibly hear three churches going on at the same time. So that was kind of crazy, but kind of neat, kind of wild just to hear, like, you know, just music and the word being shared like boldly in that area. So the church I was at, this is their drawing for their new facility they are hoping to build. They're working on building. It's like this three-story. There's parking underneath. The church is on the second floor. They've got whatever on top. But here's kind of their location. This is the hole where that's supposed to be. I think they had some kind of building there. They ripped it down. But another thing that I'm inspired by, much like the giant church over there, the same thing here. They just, when they get finances, they buy some material. When they've got people that can show up and work, they're like, hey, if anybody can come help work this week, come on out. We're going to build a church. So, and whenever they can, they do. And when they can't, they don't. And they just keep serving. They keep doing their thing. They keep having church that doesn't really, like, they're some of the most optimistic people. They just know that, hey, it'll happen. We're going to keep praying. God will provide. You know, we've seen elements of that, maybe not quite as, I don't know, maybe similar but different. We've seen some of that here, but that was pretty inspiring. So this is where we ended up having church that morning, on that second floor. We got up there on the floor. Sometimes when you take pictures, they're pretty shy. This kid was not. I thought that was entertaining. Like, okay, let me pose. Actually, reminded me of my daughter a little bit. She likes a good pose. So, I thought that was entertaining. And this is the bulk of their worship team. Mostly younger. There was a couple of others that popped in and out and sang, but a lot of them are these younger kids. They dance and they sing and they just, you can see in their faces that they love the Lord. They did have one guy in the back of the room that was hooked up to a keyboard, like very cheap, like Walmart level keyboard, had little drums going, playing bass guitar on this hand and other parts keyboard on this hand. He was actually really, really good. I was thoroughly impressed. I kept giving him a thumbs up, like, yeah, you got, oh, that's awesome, man. Keep going. And but they just, I mean, they had a blast. They were so excited and so pumped up about singing and praising and worshiping and just giving it everything. I wish I could show you some videos from that too, but I don't have those with me. But then this hit me. So then I was watching this, the one boy that was leading. At one point, he just, I mean, you could see him kind of being just overcome a little bit. And eventually he ends up just dropping to the floor. He's on his hands, he's on his knees, face down. He was praying, he was singing. And then I'm watching these other two little kids who were kind of observing like all of life going on and everything going on. They start watching him, and then this is what ends up happening. They were following suit, and they also hit their knees and hit the floor and were worshiping and praying. And I thought it was so cool, and it was a reminder that, hey, we're being watched. Young, old, all alike, we're being watched, and what we do makes a difference, and how we serve, how we worship, how we conduct ourselves. People see that, and they'll follow suit, depending on which direction. We can do it correctly or we can do it incorrectly. They're going to watch us, and they're going to follow us. And this was a picture that is a huge reminder to me of that. So just super awesome to get to be with them. This is Pastor Moses, one of the sweetest men I met while I was there. Just has a smile for days. I mean, he was so welcoming and embracing. Got to see him a couple of times later for other things. Just incredible man of God. He's been messaging me several times since I've been back. He messaged me just this morning. Hey, we just finished up church. And he's been excited to hear about what's going on here. I told him I was excited to tell you about them and about what they're doing. And I said, I'll continue to pray for them and their building and that kind of thing. So if you think about it, Pastor Moses and his church, you know, pray for them. They're sweet, sweet people. So we did that Sunday morning, obviously, you know, had Sunday lunch and ate more than we should have. But then Sunday night, we got to do a pastor's meeting just with pastors, which, you know, for us doesn't sound like a huge deal. It doesn't sound super exciting necessarily. Nothing personal, Mark, but in this culture, you've got to understand, in this culture, the status level of a pastor is different. Now we should always respect our pastors. We should give them the respect that, you know, they put in a lot of hard work. They do a lot of things. They should be, and they are called to be our shepherd. But in this culture, that has been kind of overstepped. And in a lot of places, the pastors there are, whether intentionally or not, they're seen, and a lot of times they see themselves at a level that maybe they really shouldn't be at. There's a pridefulness, there's a level of authority that maybe is above and beyond where really they're called to be. And so because of that, there's a lot of friction. Now, not all of them, like, you know, like Pastor Moses there and some others, man, they will just, they'll do anything for you anytime, anywhere, any place. But there are a lot of others, and especially as they raise to higher levels of bishop or other things like that, they get very full of themselves, and they don't play well with others. And you don't see them interacting with other pastors or other churches. They don't even frequently interact with the worship leader in their church or a children's leader in their church. I mean, they just kind of do their thing. They're in charge. Everybody else just follows. And so to see this many pastors and a few bishops in the room together was an incredible, even a lot of them afterwards were realized and noticed, like, hey, this doesn't happen. We don't get pastors together like this. We don't have meetings like this. And we were kind of casting vision for what we do, but also just casting vision for what God has the potential to do in their area if they're working together, if they're working as a unit and as the body of Christ. And the coolest thing was, there was a couple pictures there, and we've got video clips of this too, but we shared with some of our Bible school leaders, shared what they were doing in the communities, and they were really intrigued about that, because nobody comes in and rarely does somebody come in and teach the kids, but nobody ever comes in and trains their children's leaders, and that gave them a whole different perspective on the importance of the children's leaders, the importance of the other workers in the church. So that was pretty incredible. But then, so just for the fun of it, they sang one of the songs that they sang with the kids for the pastors. And they're like, okay, well, stand up. Let's all stand up and do this together. And so they had them stand up. And I tell you, this room full of stuffy, kind of self-centered some pastors, they were singing. They were trying to do the motions for this. God is great and God is good. They're trying to figure this out. And it was one of the most precious moments. I mean, it was, I mean, you kind of teared up seeing this happen and see walls broken down and see things happening like that. It was really, really cool. And I mean, I had little to nothing to do with this. I just kind of got to witness it and was glad I got to. But that was so cool. So yeah, so that was a lot of the ministry things. By this point, we were kind of wrapping up. We had a couple other things. We did travel at this point. We traveled back to Kampala. Again, not super spiritual, but I just thought this was kind of fun, a fun story. The food was actually really, really good while we were there. Sometimes you're not sure what you're going to get, but we actually ate well and ate a lot. But one of the fun things is on the way back to Jinja, we kept hearing about this chicken on a stick. What's chicken on a stick? And we were pretty sure traveling along, we saw what we thought was chicken on a stick. They were just in these random places. You just see little grills and like just stuff being cooked over a fire. And then the one guy driving us, he's like, "Hey, I got the spot. I got the spot." You saw it. Everybody's like, "I got the spot." So this is what we're kind of pulling into. We pull into this kind of scenario. We get a little closer, and as soon as you pull up and roll your window down, you get this. You get people at your window. And they were a little less likely to get closer because our driver was a big dude. He was a big old guy, so they were a little standoffish. My side, I was in the passenger seat there. They were in the window. Like, I had pops and chicken and all kinds of bananas and all kinds of things, like, right in my face. So, somebody from the back seat got a picture of that. Like, just right there. I mean, they're like, anything you want to buy from them, they're like, here, let me sell it to you. They were laughing at this picture, said I kind of look like a dog when he's in trouble and he's not going to look at you. Like, I'm not looking that direction. I had already had my interaction. I bought something to drink. I was waiting for the other guy to negotiate chicken. I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done. However, I tell you what, it was some of the best food I had the whole time there. It was sketchy. We probably shouldn't have eaten chicken off the side of the road, but I didn't care. It was incredible. It was some of the best food I had the whole time I was there. So then we're heading back, and to make it even better, so I get basically barbecue chicken, which was awesome. So then we stopped along the side of the road where some of these crops were. The crop all the way in the back, the taller crop, is sugarcane. So there's sugar. The crop right behind me is tea. So basically this is a picture of me with sweet tea in Uganda. It was the closest I got to sweet tea over there, but I thought, hey, that's kind of fun. So I got barbecue chicken and almost got sweet tea. So so that's that. Then the other main thing we did, and you saw the video, or this, so here, yeah, we had to watch for longhorn steer in the road, but we go to this facility called Destiny Africa. This is one of the last places we went. This is a children's home. Those are housing up there. They live in, there'll be maybe, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 kids in a house and kind of one adult who's like the parent of the house, and they live as little families. There's multiple houses like that. They stay there, they eat there, their rooms are there. But then there's also, in that same grounds, there is schooling, there's school facilities, there's music facilities. This is the building where we actually did that worship time, that music time. So while the Bible school are out working with the kids, some of us were back in this place working with this team. Met some super awesome people there too. So we had the other worship leader from Florida. He was kind of working with the choir while I would turn around and work with the band, and then we'd put stuff together, and we kind of did all that. Like I said, and I had no idea at the end of this we were going to put all that together and record that video, so that was just kind of an extra blessing that we got to do that anyway, but then get to bring that back and share it. There was some of the team and so that's a loop of that. So yeah, so we did that. That was kind of one of the main last things. We're loading back up in the van. I took a close. That was our Uber driver. So you see on the last plate, we had a, I don't know, dad jokes. But I took this for a reason. Other than just to make a bad joke. that it was our Uba driver. But yeah, so the big giant guy there, I didn't get a good shot of him, but that is Robert. Robert was one of the drivers that drove us around for most of the time. Again, super nice guy. He is a pastor. And one of the things he does during the week is he drives a van like that just to serve, to make some money, to keep funds coming in. And maybe you can get your GMC back running again. You can do an Uber driving around here. But it was also another one of those humbling reminders that, you know, hey, you know, it doesn't matter who we are, what our status is, who we think we are. This guy was so happy to serve. Like they kept calling him Pastor Robert, but like I was trying to figure out, like, is he really a pastor or are they just calling him that? But no, like he's got a church. He's like, that's his weekend thing. He pastors, but he does this during the week, like, you know, partially to make some money, but you could tell he loved what he did. We had such a good time with him. He had so many neat things to share with us along the way. And to tell us. So that was pretty cool. So that was the bulk of our trip. You know, we fly back, obviously. Took the same basic path flying back. Had a little detour in JFK and Washington and all that. Oh, I didn't mean to hit that. I'm not sure why that did that. So that was the bulk of the trip. If you can hang with me for a couple of minutes, then I wanted to transition from there and kind of bring all this together for the morning. We didn't officially have a message, but I'll give you like a message at a sermonette to kind of tie all this together with the series we've been talking about, character traits. We've been looking at characters in the Bible, characters we can learn for our own life. But one thing I was thinking about as maybe a character trait to share this morning, we saw that in the youth and the leaders that went with the youth. We saw that in Jake. I saw that all over the place in the team that I went with to Uganda. I see it frequently around here a lot too, but it's this character of service, this character of serving, and being willing to give of who you are, your time, your gifts, your abilities. The opening song we started with this morning, if anybody was listening, was basically a very, very simplified version of the greatest commandment. It said, love God, love people. That scripture is actually found in Matthew 22. You got that back up there, Steve? There you go. Nope, back down at the bottom. But yeah, so the greatest commandment. So you know, here's the disciples asking Jesus, like, okay, right? So what is? There you go. You know, what's the greatest commandment in the law? A lot of us have heard this. We've shared this here recently. But he said, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So this is a very big deal, a very big thing, a very important thing. First and foremost, we've got to get number one right. We've got to love the Lord. We've got to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, strength. That's most important. We've got to establish that. Once we do that, then that second one comes very quickly after that. They're kind of lumped together, but they are two different things. Back up, we weren't done. that second commandment right in that verse is then to love your neighbor as yourself. And so what is one of the huge ways you can show God that you love him, and one of the huge ways you can show others that you love them, was by serving. You give. We've been given so much. We have so much that it's very simple and very easy and very little for us to begin to give back. But we have to make that commitment to do that. So with that in mind, so I've got kind of just five real quick points, one or two scriptures each. I'll blow through these real fast, but I want you to go home with these as something to walk away with this morning. The first idea is that we serve God by serving others, which is kind of what we said there a second ago. A scripture to go along with this is Matthew 25, 35 through 40. It says, for I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. So then the righteous will answer and said, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you? I mean, they don't really understand this. Like, well, I don't get it. I don't get this. Well, then he finishes up and says, well, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Yeah, you can go on that next slide. That was, yeah, I'm paraphrasing some stuff. I'm gonna try to jump through. But yeah, so when you go serve in Kentucky, when you serve at these camps, when you serve in the community, when you serve in this church, you are making a difference and you are serving others. You're reaching out, and by doing that, you're also serving God. By serving the people that He loves, you're serving Him. And so then we go on, and a second thing we do is we got to remember to serve humbly. It's not for any of our own glory. It's not for any self-recognition. We love to get to share what we're doing, but man, don't walk away and think, oh boy, those people are great for doing what they did. It is not about us. It's about what God is doing through us. It's about what God is doing in these places and the opportunity we had to get to be a piece of that. And for any of the things that you do, to get to be a piece of that. One verse there was Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit, one mind. And here's the key here. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And so when we begin to look at people like that, when we begin to look at, we're no more important. I love going to different places like that to share, but I'm telling you, I love to bring things back as much as I love to take. Because I have not got it figured out. I definitely don't have any clue. I'm not there. And so we're always learning, we're always growing. And when we look at people humbly and realize that, man, God loves all of us equally. We are called to serve, and so we do that humbly. Third, we do this because it's a witness. People see that, and that makes a difference. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So they see your good deeds. That's great. But they do it so they can glorify the Father in heaven. That's the point. James 2:14-7 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister without clothes or daily food, if one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by actions, it's dead. So again, we're called to action, we're called to do things. It's great if we have faith, we should. It's great if we love God, we should, but then we need to follow that up by doing something. Fourth, it's worship. This is one of the ways we worship. We and shared this a while back. We did a whole series on worship. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. This, being a sacrifice of your whole being, your whole body. And what do you notice that's not in this verse? As we're talking about worship, do you notice something that you would typically think about worship that's not in this verse? Music. There's nothing about, a lot of times we think worship, so we think music, singing, playing. There is nothing about music in this. Worship, music can be a tool to worship, but worship does not equal music. And so this is one of those verses I love that is just a reminder to us that it's about serving, it's about giving, it's about your whole being. Heart, soul, mind, strength, giving that all to Christ. And finally, number five, we serve because Jesus did it. I know I'm cheating a little bit. A lot of our characters were Old Testament characters. I'm cheating by using Jesus as our character because he's referenced, but not really. He didn't really show up till later. So I'm cheating a little bit. But we see in Jesus this character of service. There's so many places. I'll just, a couple of quick examples. John 13, 12 through 14. This is when he washed the disciples' feet. They're sitting around. Again, I'm not going to read it right now, but yeah. But so you know, he surprises them all by taking the place of a servant. He lowers himself. He gets down on his hands and knees. He washes the feet of the disciples. They weren't even going to let him because they're like, "Well, no, you shouldn't be doing this." He's like, "No, I'm going to do this, or you're not my disciple." And so he does this. He shows an act of service there, and then showed that multiple times in his life. But then in Philippians, we see kind of the extreme example in Philippians 2, 4 through 8. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the very same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so here was one of the prime examples of Jesus showing himself as a servant. He lowered himself to come down, become human, walk among us, live among us, teach among us, serve among us, even to the point where he gave his life for us on a cross. I mean, how much more, and we're called to have that kind of mindset. We may or may not find ourselves on a cross. Who knows? Depending on where you are, that could happen. But we are called to have that mindset of we're going to serve no matter what. There's no cost too great. There's no cost that isn't worth paying if it means we're serving and loving and living for God and giving him everything we have. So with that, we're going to close up here. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. One of the last things that Jesus shared right before he left, after he died, he showed back up, and before he went back to heaven, he shared another thing. He shared the Great Commandment earlier. Then he shared the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is also found in Matthew. That's in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. You got it? That says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so this was what he left us with. So while he was here, he taught us to love him, to love others. But before he left, he was basically saying, hey, listen, I'm going to move on. I'm going to go back to heaven, but I'm going to leave you to do this. And in my stead, you're going to do even greater things than I did. But I want you to go out, share this, share the gospel, share the word, share this with others. Go make disciples of all nations. And so that was the command and the charge that he left us with. And so that's what I want to kind of wrap up with today. We're going to sing this song. I'm going to switch over microphones, make sure I don't make a loud noise here. But we're going to close. Jenna's going to lead us in this song. It is called, it's simply called The Commission. And it is basically a reminder of what God has called us to. And so as we do this, you're welcome to stand, sit, kneel, come forward and pray. It's one of those kind of moments. You just worship how you feel. But what I want you to do during this time is to take a moment and let God speak to you about where maybe he's calling you, whether it's right here and or farther beyond, however far, but where's God calling you to go? And so we're going to do this song together. And so feel free to sing with us, but spend some time with God. Amen, amen. So as we wrap up today, as we leave you and send you out, I just want to remind you and encourage you to just pray about where God would have you go. He spent his time here, he served, he lived, he died, he rose again for each and every one of us. And boy, if you don't know Christ, make sure you see one of us this morning. We'd love to talk to you about that too. If you don't know the joy and the drive to do these kinds of things, that's first and foremost. But boy, if you're a Christian and you're already living for him, why not go? If he's pushing you, if he's calling you, where are you called to go? And so pray about that this week. Take that with you this week. And man, just be blessed. It is so good to be with you. Thank you so much for being here this morning, for being part of this, for supporting all of this. Thank you so much. But hey, if we don't see you before, we'll see you next Sunday. But God bless and have an awesome week.